so bored. You need to walk the other way. I tell you once more.
Hello and welcome to Women Leading in Cannabis. I'm your host, Kira Reed. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Marianne Kurtzschi, founder of Alibi Cannabis. Welcome to the show, Marianne.
Hey, thanks, Kira. It's great to be here.
Marianne is an experienced entrepreneur focused on building business through relationships and integrity. With an MBA, experienced in Fortune 50 companies, founding an e-commerce company, and more, Alibi Cannabis is the culmination of all of her experience. Well, welcome, Marianne. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you today.
Yeah, you too, Kira. I'm glad this worked out.
Me too. So how did you go from working at a Fortune 50 company to starting a cultivation business in cannabis?
Well, that's a really interesting story. As I found, everything in cannabis has a story behind it. And my experience took several turns. One of them was I founded an e-commerce in between. So I started an e-commerce company probably 20 years ago and ran that for over a decade. And through that, learned how to use technology to build relationships with customers and how to manage all the logistics of supplying things on time and manage the business. And then after I sold that business, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And that's what changed the trajectory of my career and my path into cannabis. As I was going through treatment, which included surgery, chemo, radiation, a friend gave me some cannabis and said, "You've got to try this. This will help." And I was a little bit dubious, but at that point I was like, sure, why not? I'll try anything. If it works, great. And it was better than working. It was amazing. It completely transformed my treatment and set me on a pathway for health. And then we bought the property where the farm is and started a farm.
It is amazing how many women I talk to that were brought to this industry through the same kind of pathway, through an illness. And it just completely opened the door for them, and not only a new way of dealing with their health, but an entirely new career trajectory.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's the more I learn about the paths that other people have taken and what it took to get us to this place of quasi-legalization, it's just amazing the people that are dedicated to the plant and working to make the industry flourish.
So tell us about Alibi Cannabis and what you do now.
So our farm, we are licensed in Oregon. So we're an indoor farm, tier 2 license. So, which means we can grow up to 10,000 square feet of canopy. And being in Northern Oregon, we're indoor as opposed to the Southern Oregon and California stuff, which is outdoor. So it's different from farming, traditional farming, in that because it is indoor, it's more manufacturing-like. So we take the farming and the care for the plants and mix that with technology so that we have a controlled environment to grow, so that we have consistency and reliability. And we are set up to harvest every month, and we have about a dozen different strains, and we are constantly testing new strains to see what the market likes, and try to grow the top quality at fair prices and build relationships with the stores and our customers.
And what has been your challenge trying to build this business, which is in a very male-dominated field? I mean, you know, we have a lot of different options to get into as women in the industry, and cultivation is really, really dominated by the men in the industry. So what has been your greatest challenge as a woman trying to build your business?
Well, I think part of it is that just building a business, regardless of your gender, is so difficult. Indoor cultivation is the most expensive way to grow cannabis. And so it takes a significant amount of capital and a significant amount of investment. And with the risks around licensing, that was the initial struggle, is that we had to invest a ton of money and a ton of work before we even got our license. And at that point, there was a risk of, you know, are we even going to get licensed? Is this all going to be for naught? But fortunately, we were able to pass those hurdles and got licensed. And specifically now, after having done this for a number of years, when I go to industry meetings, there are more and more women in the trade association meetings, which are great. But the sort of the leaders have historically been men. And I'm so grateful for so many of them. My philosophy is that you build relationships and connect and provide value in every relationship. So doesn't matter to me what your background is or what you look like or any of that. Just try to build a connection. And to me, that's what it's about, is bringing other women in, bringing other men in, bringing minorities in, and just building a collaborative environment where we can all carve out our space. Because this industry is so big, there are so many possibilities, that it's not a question of competition. To me, it's a question of bringing more people in. And hey, if I can help another cultivator, I will do it. Because they're not taking anything away from me. They're adding to the environment, adding to the industry.
So it sounds like you're building a company based on co-opetition, diversity, and inclusion as your foundation. Tell me about some of the challenges in doing so and the rewards in doing so.
The challenges there are so many of them. It is really tempting because... So in Oregon, the wholesale prices plummeted in 2018, and there were a lot of farms and a lot of other businesses that were overextended on debt and didn't have a good handle on their financials, and unfortunately, they went out of business. So it's really trial by fire, in that if you're not paying attention to the bottom line and paying attention to the fundamentals of your business, there are so many things that are going to hit you over the head that are going to, you know, there's licensing, there's regulation, there's banking, there's prices, there's the black market. All of these things are weighing on you as a business owner trying to improve things, and those things are trying to bring you down. And so having those things in mind, you just have to keep going forward. And so the point is that it would be easy to slip into the dark side and do things in the unregulated market, but we have chosen to not do that. And we have also chosen to just maintain the course. We don't try to do anything shady. We don't try to do things that are not, that I would be ashamed of. I want to have a company that I'm proud of. So we take care of our employees. Our employees have health insurance, dental insurance, PTO. It's run like a real business, because that's what we are, and that's what we want to be, and we want to bring that professionalism and that integrity to the industry.
That is absolutely amazing. Let's talk a little bit about how you see federal legalization impacting everything that you're working on building right now. And I'm curious, what are you excited about and what are you worried about when it comes to federal legalization? How it's going to impact, let's say, too, not only how is it going to impact your business, how is it going to impact the Oregon market, and then how is it going to impact women and minorities in the industry?
I think that is the biggest thing, challenge that we have coming up as an industry on the horizon. I'm actually really excited about it. For a while, I was really nervous and afraid, but then I started thinking about the industry as a whole and the fact that Oregon and California have really set themselves apart as cultivation states. And we do have cultivation knowledge. We know how to grow amazing product. I mean, the flower coming out of the West Coast is the best in the world. And so I think that there is an opportunity for us, once legalization happens, where we can share that message and get others excited about the products of the West Coast. The challenge. So what we're doing to set up for that, and just in preparation, is trying to build relationships with people who are with companies who are thinking also about that in terms of wholesalers and distribution and transportation, because I think that's going to be the challenge. You know, we don't know what federal legalization is going to look like yet, but the things that I have seen and what I've heard is that it's going to be tightly regulated around transportation. So those kinds of solutions are way bigger than our small little tiny farm. So building the relationships so that we're all set up and can do that in a compliant way once it's open, that's what we're working on now.
And how are you preparing your business for, you know, corporate raiders coming in? How are you preparing yourself to scale and stay competitive?
That is just, it's hopefully we've hit the magic button of scaling adequately so that we're growing what we need for today's market. The problem with indoor cultivation is that it's not some, oh, we're going to go plow another acre and plant some seeds and we're good. An indoor facility is extremely expensive and takes a lot of time. So trying to figure out when the timing of that capital is going to happen compared to when we think federal legalization is going to happen. It's a challenge, and we're wrestling with that now. But I honestly think that federal legalization is at least 2 or 3 years away. I know others, I mean, I don't have any magic, any inside information or anything, but that's sort of my gut feel. And that's what we're planning on.
Yeah, pretty much everybody I interview has that same feeling. 2 to 3 years is what it's going to take to get over some of those legislative hurdles. So do you have advice for women in the industry? I'd kind of like to get a view from being a cultivator in cannabis. Does the industry support you? Is there a good network of female cultivators, and what advice do you have for women who are contemplating getting into cannabis or getting a license to grow?
The industry keeps changing, and so that's the good thing, is that even if your struggles today, the struggles tomorrow are going to be different. You know, I get asked that question a lot, and what's interesting is that the people who have been most helpful and kind towards for me to get everything going are actually men. I went to so many women's conferences a couple before COVID and tried really hard to connect with other women business owners. And it felt very cliquish, and not everybody for sure. I mean, I made some great relationships, but I think it's from my experience, it's not about the gender. It's about building the relationship. And for whatever reason, I think sometimes women just get where they're focused on themselves. And I'm not going to say that even, it's not just women. It's just, it's important for me to think outside myself and to find connections and value in anybody. And I haven't always experienced that.
Have you found support for yourself now as a woman in the industry? I hear a lot from cultivators around the country, obviously mm-hmm. focused on women. And there is a great deal of intimidation, real or imagined. This is the way that women feel. They feel intimidated. They feel shut out. They don't feel like they have access to the real estate or the deals or the support that they see their male counterparts getting. So do you have advice for women who are really trying to navigate this space or contemplating really taking it on, as to maybe some best practices, some places where they can find support? What exists here for them in the infrastructure of the industry?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of resources available. But what you said is totally true. Access to capital for women and minorities is significantly different than access to capital if you're a white male. And I'm part of an investor group that is working on changing that. So we are specifically investing in women and minority-owned businesses. And I think that's the right thing to do. And I think more and more people are going to see that. Not only is it the right thing to do for diversity and equity, but it's also the right thing to do for your money, because there's so much opportunity in this business to make financial returns. You just have to do it right. And so there, the resources that I have found specifically are your organization, Women Empowered in Cannabis, and then also our local trade association, the Oregon Cannabis Association, is really leading the efforts towards this. And I would encourage people to reach out and find their local trade association. And if it's not working for you, then you work to make it better. Instead of complaining and just being unhappy with the way things are, I think this is, you treat it like an opportunity and say, okay, what's the vision for the future? And what ideas do I have? And how can I contribute to make the future better? I heard an interview one time with Elon Musk, and someone asked him what advice he would give to someone who's thinking about starting their business. And he said, if you need somebody on the outside to give you encouragement, then you shouldn't be doing it. That's a little harsh. That's really harsh. But I think his point is that there's just so much against you that you have to have that either within yourself or within your really, you know, your tribe that's close to you, to propel you forward. And so I would just, if people have this burning passion to do it, then you just do it. There is no time like now to get started. The industry is, there's so much opportunity, and there's so many ways that women can make an impact and make things better and improve things, that if that's something that you want to do, just do it. There are places to get capital. There are places to get information. It's, you know, you may have to dig a little bit harder, work a little bit harder, take some risks, but don't be afraid to reach out. And that was one of my mistakes when we first started the farm back 5 years ago, is feeling hesitant and feeling like asking questions was going to make me look stupid. But in fact, now I take that opportunity. If there's something I don't know, or if there's someone that I want to meet, someone I want to ask, you know, ask in for information, I'll just go do it. And it's, for me at least, and I don't know if this is the same for other women, but it was very intimidating to do that at first, but now it feels more natural. And I feel like that's really what we need to do, is to not be afraid to put yourself out there and to ask questions and say, hey, can you give me I'm looking for this. Is there somebody you know in your network that can help me?
And isn't it wonderful when you see other women doing it, as modeling it? It gives permission to those around you to also step forward and say, hey, I need help. I'm confused. I'm feeling overwhelmed. There is a really great community, I think, for women in the industry. It's just a matter of finding it and plugging yourself into it.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not being afraid. And, you know, certainly there are days, and this is what I learned from going through chemo, is there's days when I just wanted to crawl up in the corner in a ball and cry. And so you do that. If that's what you need to do that day, if you need to take some time off to reset, you do it. But then you come back and you have the reason to go forward and the reason to grow your business. And just don't be afraid of the future. I think if we knew what the future hold, you know, what the future held, it's kind of intimidating, but it's all good and it's all going to work out. And you just got to keep moving forward and find that vision for yourself and move towards it.
So what are you excited about in the upcoming year? I'd love to hear what you're excited about for Alibi, and then what you're excited about in the industry.
There are so many things. We have, during the pandemic, we took the opportunity to expand. So our production, we tripled our production capacity over the last 18 months. And so that was challenging. It was a ton of work. It's a lot of effort to get that up and running. But now that we're finally done with that, then our cultivation can catch up and produce, you know, a lot of really top quality flower that people are asking for. There are shops that are like, hey, can we get some more? And our answer is no, sorry, we're out this month. So for Alibi, that's what I'm excited about, is that our production capacity will finally be up to the market. And then for the industry as a whole, well, we talked about it a little bit already, but I think federal legalization is the next big thing. And it's really exciting to see what solutions people are coming up with to make that as easy as possible and as and how that's going to work out. So there's lots of ideas that have been floated, and I'm really excited to see where that lands us, because then people all over the US can have access to amazing cannabis.
So you had mentioned that there are some things that you're excited about. Can you tell me a little bit more? You alluded to them, but you didn't really go into what you're most excited about this year.
You mean on the federal legalization side?
Yeah.
So at this point, I think it's a little bit early to have any specific ideas. But one idea that has been floated around is that maybe there'll be an export endorsement on current wholesale licenses. So if that happens, then, like we talked about, I think the transportation is going to be, and the distribution is going to be the challenge. And since I have experience in that from my e-commerce days, where we, ship stuff all over the US and all over the world, I know the challenges that are there. And, cannabis has historically been a very low-tech business, and the technology companies that have come in, to help with the retail shops, as well as the cultivation. I mean, there's some amazing cultivation technology companies. Those are great and wonderful. And I think that the distribution piece is the next area for technology to help improve things and help drive the industry forward.
Pelkin Berg from Streamo, technology company in the industry, was telling me that she thinks that cannabis is really going to end up being an innovation leader, because they're going to take things like an ERP system, which traditionally, kind of reminds you of the 1990s DOS printer era, and they haven't really updated. But because of the specific needs of cannabis, they are not going to be able to take a lot of technology from other industries and just repurpose it. They're going to actually have to build it from the ground up. And so kind of giving new innovation to all of these old traditional industries or parts of these industries. And I thought that was a really interesting take.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. Just the regulation, I think people who are outside the industry don't have any concept of the amount of regulation and the amount of infrastructure and overhead that is pushed on licensed businesses to comply. We are more regulated than any other business ever. I mean, even pharmaceutical companies, where you think that pharmaceutical things would be regulated, and they are, we have more regulations. And so what that does is that forces a lot of manual labor, specifically in the farm. Like, we have to tag every single plant with RFID tags. And that's a regulatory issue in Oregon, and we're working on changing it. But in the meantime, this is just a huge amount of labor that is forced on us by the regulators that we have to do to comply. And so innovative thinking is for me is figuring out how we can comply. So how we can effect changes in the law and then also comply with those in an efficient way, because there's so many inefficiencies built in because of the regulations.
Mm-hmm. And what about banking?
Some people are going to be upset at me for saying this, but I'm not as worried about banking. We have in Oregon, we have several credit unions that will take cannabis money. They charge an arm and a leg for it, but hey, I have a bank account. And there are also thoughts of having a state bank. And so I think that banking is, I think there are enough third-party solutions out there that, to me, that's not nearly as important, because, a federal bank, the normal banks, that's not going to happen until federal legalization. So the rest of it is up to states and small banks. And the people that kind of get stuck with the results of that, though, are employees, because I have an employee who was trying to buy a house last year and ended up not being able to get financing because his income was from a cannabis company. So it's those kinds of the trickle down effect that I see as being more problematic as opposed to direct banking for licensed businesses.
All right, Marianne, we've come to the end of our time together. Where can women reach you if they want to learn more about Alibi or you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So our website is alibicannabis.com. We're on Instagram at alibicannabis, and I'm pretty easy to find on LinkedIn. Just look for Marianne Kersegi. The business is Alibi, and I am happy to connect with people. Please reach out, ask any questions about cultivation, building a business. If you're looking for capital or investment, I've got connections, and I'm happy to leverage my network to help people grow their business.
Wow. Thank you so much, Marianne, for your generous offer. And ladies, please, if you are in a position where you need help, please reach out to Marianne. She definitely knows what she's doing and can point you in the right direction. So thank you, Marianne, for your time and for sharing your journey with us today. Ladies, thank you for tuning in. If you haven't yet joined the Women Empowered in Cannabis community, go to our new membership portal at womenempoweredincannabis.com. There you'll find lots of information on our new memberships for women working in cannabis. You can also find us on Clubhouse as WEIC, where we host AMA rooms with investors and recruiters and monthly open mics to introduce yourself to the community. WEIC is a community that provides resources, connections, events, and content to women working in cannabis in the U.S., Canada, and around the world where there's an interest in cannabis legalization. We welcome women who are currently working in cannabis or curious about taking a leap into the industry. Consider becoming a supporting member or supporting business for benefits and access across the network. And join us again for another conversation with Women Leading in Cannabis.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, I'm Gary, and I invite you to discover the Cannabis Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast focused on a Canadian's cannabis culture. I would be the Canadian, and my cannabis passion and culture has been building for 5 decades. I share that passion for this wonderful plant in every episode, through conversations with cannabis advocates and enthusiasts, stories about the ever-changing legal environment, and some hands-on testing of product in a segment I call Cultivar Corner. The Cannabis Podcast, a Canadian's cannabis culture, one toke at a time.